It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We look at work underway to craft the new biennium budget, 2023 to 2025, at a time of Wisconsin's strongest fiscal position in history. Call on budget priorities, your questions as well about the budget, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kathy Blumenfeld is here, Secretary-Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Administration, an agency that one of its functions is to help the governor develop and implement a state budget. Secretary Blumenfeld, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's great to be here this morning.
Well, in your report last month to the governor and legislature, you said the state's current revenue surplus of nearly $4.3 billion is projected to grow to more than $6.5 billion by the end of June, the close of the fiscal year. What explains the dramatic growth of the state surplus?
Well, Kate, I am proud to say that Wisconsin is in the strongest financial position we've ever experienced in our state history. We're ending the year with this historic and unprecedented $6.6 billion balance. And we also have a positive gap balance for 2 years in a row for the first time ever. The record surplus is the result of prudent financial stewardship by Governor Evers in recent years, for the last 4 years. The strong fiscal management has also included a AAA bond rating for the first time ever for the state. We've had higher than expected tax revenues, even as Governor Evers signed one of the largest tax cuts in state history, and lower than expected expenditures.
But I wonder, I just want to jump in here. I wonder, why is tax revenue much higher than the state forecasts?
Well, we've had really good revenue growth in our state. We have a very, very strong economy right now. We have strong employment figures. We have historically low unemployment. And we continue to have some of the highest workforce participation in our state's history. And that is really exciting and leading to higher revenues coming in, way higher than we actually expected even a few months ago.
But I also wonder, is this growth in the general fund boosted by the sky-high inflation we're seeing? I mean, Wisconsinites paying a lot more for everything, and then therefore, wouldn't that translate to higher sales taxes?
Absolutely. Inflation is a big part of this, and higher income and sales tax. Absolutely. That is a big part of it as well. And inflation will continue to feed that as we move forward.
What global or national threats are looming that could affect the state's economic forecast? Because as you talk here about inflation, that could be partially artificial then as you reflect on the economy and where it's going. What are the threats?
So looking ahead, I think we talked about inflation and also the war in Ukraine are creating some headwinds that impact things like energy supplies, exacerbating supply chain issues as we've all felt in some way, shape, or form, and raising prices globally. So if the war in Ukraine continues well into 23 and beyond, it means that there is definitely a downside risk to nationwide economic forecasts and revenue. And Wisconsin has largely followed the national recovery trajectory and faces similar financial constraints, which are elevated inflation and continuing tight labor markets. However, we are in a solid financial position to handle these future challenges as we come out of the pandemic even stronger than before.
I'm going to reintroduce you a moment here as we talk about state revenues and budgeting, the massive surplus. Kathy Blumenfeld is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. You can join in with your questions about agency budgets, about the process, about the surplus, and what to do with it. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You have received every agency's request for the next 2-year state budget. And in light of the surplus projections that we're talking about, are agencies asking for significantly more funds than they thought, you know, they sought previously?
Well, each odd-numbered year, state agencies submit their budget requests to the governor by September 15th. And so while we're starting out the next biennium with a remarkable opening balance, we also need to be mindful of the ongoing and future expenditures, which were not captured in the latest report. So there are just a ton of opportunities going forward to make key and foundational investments in Wisconsin that will help build the future we want for our state. So after the agencies submit their budget requests, these requests then are reviewed by the governor, who works to prepare. We're working right now every single day with the governor to prepare the executive budget that'll be introduced early next year. And Governor Evers has always worked to do the right thing for the people of our state. And he's worked to make sure the people of Wisconsin have the opportunity to provide input and feedback both before and after he introduces the budget. So our administration is super excited to begin the process again in the coming weeks, and we will be hitting the road with Governor Evers and our cabinet to conduct listening sessions across the state to hear about what people have as priorities as we work to prepare the final budget, which again will be introduced early next year.
And when do those listening sessions get underway?
They will get underway the week after next.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about these agency budgets and how do you guide agency leaders as they set their budgets and priorities when they have received, many of them, quite an infusion of ARPA dollars, of federal pandemic dollars, that have kind of plugged these one-time things that are now trying to become a part of the budget. How do you balance those priorities?
Yeah, that's a great point and a really important point, too, because we want to make sure that we continue our strong fiscal management of the state and not get into a situation, even though we have a great big opening budget balance, that we don't create a structural deficit going forward. So we want to make sure, given this is the third time around for the governor doing his budget, we want to make sure that we continue that strong fiscal management and that we put together a budget, the governor puts together a budget that represents the rest of the work that we want to continue to do in Wisconsin. Things such as getting help to working families that are facing rising costs, investing in kids in public schools, healthcare, community safety, high-speed internet, and of course, continuing, as the governor would say, to fix those damn roads and infrastructure.
I want to pause there on infrastructure because we heard last week from UW System President Jay Rothman about his request for $2.4 billion to renovate 7% of the aging buildings on UW campuses. How does that budget request stack up against these other asks from other state agencies for construction and building projects?
Well, Kate, those requests actually go into the capital budget, which is done simultaneously, but a different set of budgets. And we do have kind of historic asks for infrastructure. There were many years, almost a decade of deferred maintenance that we just didn't invest in our buildings. And so we have a lot to catch up on. And so we are working with the governor, and we will work through the State Building Commission to put together that capital budget kind of alongside with the operating budget. But there is quite a bit of ask this year and quite a bit of need, both in the university system, the state system, and we'll have to balance those requests out over the next, those investments in the next 4 years. But there is definitely need. And of course, the UW system wants to remain competitive as well.
Kathy Blumenfeld with us, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Administration, as we talk about agency budget priorities in the new biennium. Join in, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss state agency budget requests and the economic outlook for Wisconsin. Colin, with your questions amid the unprecedented surplus, 800-642-1234. Kathy Blumenfeld is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Administration, DOA, and stays with us. Let's bring on a caller, John in Boaz. John, hi, go ahead.
Hi, I would like to say that we can save for a rainy day. Do not spend the surplus. What you could do is lower the real estate taxes by 3%.
So John's suggesting not to spend the rainy day fund and to lower real estate taxes. Secretary Blumenfeld.
Sure. Thank you so much for that input. And that's exactly the kind of input that we'll be looking for as we do our budget sessions across the state. I will say that in addition to our surplus, we have also a rainy day fund, which is at the highest watermark we've ever seen as well. So in addition to the surplus, there is a separate fund, a rainy day fund that is full. It's statutorily as full as it needs to be right now, or as full as it can get. So, but I appreciate the input on the real estate tax, and I appreciate your tendency towards, just being, having good fiscal management as well. So thank you so much for that input.
Let's look more closely at tax cuts. At a WisPolitics luncheon last month, we heard Republican State Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu saying the budget surplus is an opportunity to make permanent changes to state tax laws.
The best way to make Wisconsin competitive going forward is to make permanent tax changes, not a gimmicky one-time thing. And we have enough money to do that.
Okay, so that luncheon audio there from Wisconsin Eye. How far apart are Governor Evers and Republican leaders on the issue of cutting taxes?
Well, I know the governor has always said he'll do what he can to work across the aisle to do what's right for Wisconsin. And I know there's been some recent conversations and we're off to a good start so far. The governor has made specific recommendations in the past to use a portion of our surplus state funds to help Wisconsinites and working families facing rising costs, to increase our investment in kids and our schools by $2 billion, and to provide a 10% tax cut for working families. And that is among many of the critical priorities that we are facing. So as we move forward, I think it's a matter of, coming to the table and negotiating. But I do agree that we need to be very, very conscious about what we're funding one time, because that is just what it says, one time, and what kind of structural changes that we have to keep our great state in such wonderful financial position.
LeMahieu also said we're going to do income tax cuts across the board to make sure everybody receives tax cuts in Wisconsin. Is there a way to do these cuts, tax cuts, across the board so wealthy filers and middle and lower class filers all feel relief?
Well, now that the governor has been reelected, we hope to work with the legislature to help working families and help all Wisconsinites. So I don't have a crystal ball to look into, but I'm hopeful that we can come to some good agreement with our friends across the aisle.
Let's go to Saul in Stevens Point. Saul, what would you like to bring up?
It's just something very specific. Devil's Lake State Park. This is the most visited state park in the country, over 2 million visitors a year. And a lot of the public facilities, not the park itself, but the public facilities are shabby. it needs a lot more funding. Thank you.
Sal, thank you. Secretary Blumenfeld, a very specific suggestion there for funding.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for that suggestion. And that's very important. One thing that we saw during the pandemic was an incredible increase in the use of our wonderful state parks and state resources and the great outdoors. And that did put a lot of stress on the infrastructure supporting them. So that is part of, I can't speak to that specific one, but I know that we're looking across the state to make sure that we're making improvements in our infrastructure supporting state parks. So thank you so much for using the state park, enjoying it, and we hope to upgrade our infrastructure as well. But it is wonderful to see so many people taking advantage of all the natural beauty that Wisconsin has to offer.
Let's go to Carol now in Milwaukee. Carol, what's your suggestion?
Good morning. Someone said they think that the real estate taxes could be brought down, which is good. But I think even more important is the rent, because right now the rents are going up by leaps and bounds. My own rent is going up 50%.
Wow.
And depends if you're in a gentrifying area sometimes. That's what I'm in. And the whole north side, I guess, might get gentrified of Milwaukee. So I think these people might have to all become homeless, et cetera, because the rents and the owners, the new owners of a lot of these buildings are not even from Milwaukee area. They don't even know who they are. They're from, like, groups of money that are put into Wall Street somehow. So we really have a big need here.
Carol, thank you. Secretary Blumenfeld, what about the issue around rising rent?
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm sorry to hear that your rent is going up so much, but it is a big issue and a big focus and concern for us as well is affordable housing and making sure that we have opportunities. With our pandemic relief money, we were able to fund a number of affordable housing and partner public-private partnerships across the state. And our state agency, WEDA, also is very much focused on affordable housing. So I appreciate that input very much. It is a priority for our governor to make sure that we have, you know, affordable housing, childcare, transportation, and everything that people need to be successful. So thank you for that input, and we'll continue to develop plans around that.
Talking state budget priorities with Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. Let's bring in Nate in Milwaukee. Nate, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for having me. I would say one of the things I appreciated about Governor Evers is he seems conscious of the fact that the state sometimes struggles to actually carry out the shared part of shared revenue with local governments, which have been having trouble with their budgets. And so I know he plans to try to help them, and I certainly support that. I think that he is wise to be very cautious about long-term changes to the tax code with temporary money. Something that we could do that might have a longer-term benefit is if we've got a particularly expensive piece of debt that the state has to pay off, and that would mean transfer the temporary money into a long-term benefit for the state. So I think that the governor is definitely eyeing or has good thoughts in mind, and I hope the secretary gets confirmed.
Nate, thank you for that. Nate, bringing up shared revenue, I mean, we see state government has record revenue balances and then municipalities and school districts struggling financially. Secretary Blumenfeld, how do you make that balance better?
Well, first of all, thank you, Nate, for that feedback. And absolutely, shared revenue, the governor has been talking so much about, is really important. And he's been trying to increase shared revenue because we know how dire the situation is in many of our local governments. So that will continue to be a focus. And I also just want to mention that during the low interest rate environment that we just came out of, at the direction of Governor Evers, we were able to refinance much of our debt and actually save Wisconsin taxpayers nearly $400 million through that refinancing. So again, back to Governor Evers' strong fiscal management. So we will definitely carry that message of shared revenue forward, and I really appreciate your input, Nate.
Only a few seconds left here, Secretary Blumenfeld. Remind us, what are the next steps in the budget process?
So the next steps, again, the governor is working right now to put together his executive budget that will get introduced. He'll have the state of the state at the in early February, and about a month later, we're still working on the dates. That budget will be introduced to the legislature, where it will go to the Joint Finance Committee and go through all the iterations where we're hopeful to, again, work with our friends across the aisle and come up with a budget by the end of by June 30th.
Kathy Blumenfeld, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Kathy Blumenfeld, Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Administration, on the State Capitol Report. Hi, I'm Kate Archer Ken. Thanks to everyone who donated during our year-end member drive. You and your community rely on Wisconsin Public Radio as a source for research-based journalism and refreshing entertainment. It's support from people like Kathleen in South Milwaukee that makes this essential service possible. And if you missed the drive, there is still time to join in with your year-end gift at WPR.org. You play a vital role in keeping Wisconsin informed and inspired. Thank you for your important partnership. It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We have the Wisconsin Green Party and its future on the ballot in elections. Join in on Green Party politics, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dave Schwab is here, co-chair of the Wisconsin Green Party. Dave, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Hi. So, you know, we received a listener request on Twitter to talk more about other political parties in Wisconsin, like the Green Party. What do you want people to know about the Green Party?
Yeah, thank you. So I guess, first of all, the Green Party is a party that's based on core values of grassroots democracy, social justice, nonviolence, and ecological sustainability. It's a grassroots bottom-up movement, but it's also a global movement. And one big thing that sets us apart from the establishment parties is that Greens pledge to not take any corporate money so that we can be accountable only to people and not big money special interests.
Green parties emerged in the, you know, 60s, 70s, and was really this radical social activism that we saw. What is the party's real center focus? It's, you know, what is its flame today, if you will?
Yeah. So, you know, all the issues that the Green Party rose up to address are, you know, still just as pressing as they were, if not more pressing. So, for example, we have the democracy issue. And, you know, right now, we have roughly 60% of U.S. adults agree the two-party system does such a poor job representing the people that we need a new party. We see that from Gallup polls. 75% of people say the country is going in the wrong direction. And there was a major study from Princeton and Northwestern that found government policies determined by the interests of the wealthiest few, not by the general public. So that's not a very healthy democracy. If we want real democracy, we need to change the system. And, you know, we're seeing that happen now with the growing movement for ranked choice voting and proportional representation. So, for example, with proportional representation, if Greens get 20% of the vote in Germany, they get 20% of seats in the legislature. And we see that in democracies around the world. And ranked choice voting is another reform that's really gaining. It's now passed in over 50 cities and counties and three states. We have proportional ranked choice voting growing in cities like Portland, Oregon, Portland, Maine. And that's really the future of democracy. And, you know, in Wisconsin especially, there's lots of talk about gerrymandering. but not enough discussion that the only way to actually end gerrymandering is through proportional representation. And, you know, we also need clean money, public election financing to get the big money out of politics so that, you know, politics can go back to representing the people and, you know, not just the folks who have enough money to, you know, basically get the outcomes that they want.
I wonder, do you see ranked choice voting as a system, you know, with proportional representation? Do you see that as the way forward for the Green Party to be able to take seats?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it would help the Green Party and it would help other parties and it would help independents. And it's a good thing for all voters, you know, because it gives voters more power. And it would free us from this constant climate of fear and anger. You know, elections are mostly about negative partisanship or getting people to fear and hate the other side. And that's the logical conclusion of our 18th century voting system, because the incentive is to make voters think your opponent is evil, so they see you as the lesser evil. And what ranked choice voting does is it frees people from that idea that you have to vote for the lesser evil. And, you know, so people are really starting to get that it's a better way to do elections. And it has many positive effects on our political culture and discourse. And that would, you know, like I said, that would give more power to every single voter, whether you vote Democrat, Republican, Green, Libertarian, Socialist, Independent. Yeah, it's so that is certainly the way forward.
I wonder who is in your tent today, because Republicans are trying to find their center, and whether they're the party of Trump, and Democrats are also soul searching. So what who is in your tent, and what are those? Where are the major tension points inside the Green Party about who it represents?
Oh, well, I guess, you know, to sum up, our, you know, like I said, we have core values of democracy, social justice, ecology, and peace. And, you know, that's really who the Green Party is made up of, is grassroots activists who see that the current system isn't working to solve these issues. And, you know, I would say that we're mostly on the same page in terms of issues. A lot of the tension comes from sort of our broken political system and questions of strategy, because you have, you know, large majorities of people saying that we need universal health care, we need climate action, you know, we need social justice, we need racial justice, etc. But the problem is that the system just is right now set up to prevent things from changing. So I think there's a lot of strategic, there's a lot of debate about the way to move forward. And, you know, it's a very difficult situation for, you know, other parties outside of the establishment parties to do well in. But, you know, like I said, that's why we're really focusing on the democracy movement. We're also focusing on the climate crisis because, you know, that's the greatest threat to human civilization aside from nuclear war that we see. And, you know, Greens were the first to run on the need for a Green New Deal, and we're still calling for an eco-socialist Green New Deal to rapidly phase out fossil fuels within the decade. And that's the time frame that scientists say we need to zero out greenhouse gas pollution in order to avoid runaway global heating.
I'm gonna reintroduce you here for a moment. We're talking about the Wisconsin Green Party. Dave Schwab is here, party co-chair. You can join in on Green Party politics and its future in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller, Steve in Sun Prairie. Steve, hi, go ahead.
Hi. In 2016, the Democratic Party blamed the Green Party for Donald Trump winning in Wisconsin, saying Jill Stein stole Democratic votes. They made it their mission for the next 4 years to keep the Green Party off the ballot in 2020, and Democratic operatives within the Wisconsin Election Committee succeeded in doing that. Just want to know what your guest feelings are about the Democratic, anti-election strategy they had in 2020 to keep the Green Party off the ballot.
Steve, thank you. Dave Schwab, your analysis.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Well, first of all, in a democracy, no one's entitled to your vote. No one owns your vote. Votes have to be earned. Second of all, polls show that the large majority of people who vote green are folks that otherwise wouldn't vote. And we have millions of people who don't vote because they feel alienated from the system, and they don't really believe that politics can make their lives better. And we're working to give those folks a reason to vote and engage. And we also have ballot access laws across the country that are designed by Democrats and Republicans that basically say you need to get a certain amount of votes in the presidential race to remain a recognized party. And even most people who vote for the establishment parties, they don't want to keep voting for the lesser of two evils forever. So we need an exit strategy from the two-party trap. And the question is, if Democratic politicians really believe that Greens are getting votes that rightfully belong to them, then why aren't they using all the power they have now across the country to pass ranked choice voting and proportional representation? You know, if you really believe in democracy, why not make the system more democratic instead of sending high-priced lawyers to remove people from the ballot? And again, you know, we're not talking about changes that will just help Greens, but things that will give more power to every single voter, whether they vote Democrat, Republican, Green, or whatever. Yeah, so thank you very much for that question.
But thinking back to the 2016 election and digging just a little bit deeper there, when Green Party officials, you know, they filed for a recount in Wisconsin after reports of voting discrepancies, and they were seeking this deeper investigation into the election results with the Green Party presidential candidate at the time, Jill Stein, leading that charge. What are the takeaways or the lessons of that 2016 election now, today?
Well, that's a really big question. And I think, you know, one of the main takeaways, you know, for me is that, you know, there are so many people who, you know, blame Jill Stein, you know, for Clinton's loss. You know, as I already said, the polls show that that isn't even true. But, you know, why not take that energy complaining about people participating in democracy and instead use it to pass ranked choice voting, use it to pass proportional representation, and, you know, really make this problem obsolete that you're complaining about. You know, I think there's a lot more that could be said about the 2016 election, but for me, that's kind of the number one thing that I'd like to, you know, because we do get that a fair amount. And, you know, I always just want to get that out into discourse. Like, you know, we don't have to keep doing this forever, every single election.
Dave Schwab co-chairs the Wisconsin Green Party as we discuss the party's platform, the future in Wisconsin politics. Join in 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We talk about the Wisconsin Green Party's platform, clearing the threshold to qualify for statewide ballot status for the 2024 presidential election. Join in on platform candidates, what it means for future democracy, 800-642-1234. Dave Schwab is here, co-chair of the Wisconsin Green Party. Let's bring on a caller, Kevin in Janesville. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning. I am really appreciating the Green Party's position, core values, platform. I love this idea of proportional representation. Let's get the big money out of politics. We're feeling so disenfranchised because of this two-party system, but nobody wants to vote third party because it feels like a waste of a vote. if we have that actual voice of representation, knowing it's not a waste, I'll bet third party, the Green Party, would be ranked above Republican or Democrat. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm hearing, Dave, you want to chime in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you.
Let's go to Bruce in Viroqua. Bruce, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say I'm a lifelong progressive. First time I was able to vote, I voted for Ralph Nader. I voted for Jill Stein in 2016, but in 2020, I campaigned for Bernie Sanders. And when I heard that the Greens were back on the ballot this year, honestly, my reaction was distress, because I feel like we need all hands on deck to fight the Republicans who are just so anti-democratic that, you know, any progressive who would vote a Green Party like me, and that, you know, argue it or not, Jill Stein may have influenced the election for Donald Trump. And I know, you know, I'm a huge proponent for ranked choice voting. I'd love to see that happen, but until that happens, I feel like, honestly, the Greens will only enable Republicans to win more elections here in Wisconsin. And as Wisconsin goes, so goes the country.
Bruce,
we really need all hands on deck here for the Democrats, sadly.
Bruce, thank you. Bruce, really, you know, accentuating there, all hands on deck, Dave, in regards to the status in the 2024 presidential election.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, one thing that stands out to me is you said, you know, you feel distress, and, you know, I absolutely agree. I think the current political climate is fear, anger, distress, anxiety. And yeah, that's what the two-party system creates. And, you know, in my life, I don't remember it ever being any different. It's always been the most important election of our lifetimes. You know, people have always been terrified that the other side will win. And, you know, but unfortunately, when you say all hands on deck, you know, we saw, for example, with the Bernie Sanders campaigns that, you know, you had millions of people activated, energized, excited to get involved in politics. And the Democratic Party basically said, we don't want you. And, you know, so that has been tried and it's not working for people. So we need to, you know, we need an exit strategy from the two-party system. And if we all just say, well, you know, we're all just going to join the two-party system and try to make it better, and hopefully someday we'll get ranked choice voting and we'll get change, then it's not going to happen. You know, power concedes nothing without a demand. And we need alternative parties and independent campaigns, you know, if for many reasons, but also to show that the system is not working. And, you know, we need to evolve to a healthy multi-party democracy where hopefully you can feel excited about voting and you can say, I'm going to vote for my favorite candidates and then my second favorite and then my third favorite. And I know that my vote is going to count and, you know, get some representation that I want.
Bruce, thank you for calling in. Let's go to Scott now in Waukesha. Scott, hi.
Hi, let me get you off the speakerphone just a sec here.
Sure.
There we go. Yeah, I heard the guest talk about ranked choice voting, and I've heard that's been a kind of a debacle the way it's been implemented. Here's a much better way to do something like that. The first choice gets 9 points, the second choice gets 3 points, and the third choice gets 1 point, and they add up the points. Done. In one round. None of this stuff about, oh, you throw out the last person, and the way they did it in some states is just totally ridiculous. So if you want to try to get ranked choice implemented, you got to come up with a much better way to do it. And we used to use that system in quality systems in big manufacturing, kind of figure out what's our most leading cause of defects and things. Vote for one. So 9 points, 3 points, 1 point, add up the points. Because I think we had recent Alaska, the person who got the most first place votes did actually not win. And that can happen. But if most people vote for one person, they shouldn't get outvoted by everybody else's second, third choice. It should take 9 third place votes for the same person equal 1 first place vote for someone else. And
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Scott. I know you're trying to finish off here.
Yeah, I got one more point is the Green Party stands for a lot of cool stuff, but trying to think we're going to get rid of fossil fuels in a few years is pie in the sky. So let's work on more, you know, reasonable solutions instead of trying to go from zero to 100 when you can't get there. So
Scott, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Dave, I'm, you know, throwing it back to a point system here and Scott not seeing that Alaska, Maine, Nevada, these other states that have implemented ranked choice might not be the system that is working as well as it could.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is a huge topic and, you know, I wish we had more time to talk about it, but, you know, basically, if you follow fairvote.org, they do a lot of great work on election reform and, you know, they've come to the conclusion that ranked choice voting in terms of single winner systems is the system that is simple and, you know, voters like it. They understand it. When they use it, they like it and they want to keep using it. And also, it's very difficult to manipulate. So you don't have games like, oh, I have to vote for the lesser of two evils, or I'm going to game the system somehow. All single winner systems have flaws, which is why we need proportional representation. But, you know, I'd push back on the idea that there have been problems with the rollout, because actually in places where it's been used, people really like it. And they find that the vast majority find that it's simple to use. And they greatly prefer it to the current system. Even people that didn't vote for it the first time around, they, you know, a lot of them are starting to come around and say, yeah, this is a better way to do elections. Regarding fossil fuels, I'm just going off what scientists say we need to do. And, you know, we also know that the obstacle to saving our planet is not technology. We have the technology to do it. The obstacle is the political will. And so we really need a political system that allows the will of the people to determine policy instead of just corporate profits. And we need to, really push as hard as we can to, you know, save this planet from runaway climate meltdown, because, you know, this is our only home.
Dave, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the chance to talk with you. And if people are interested in learning more about the Green Party, you can go to wisconsingreenparty.org. as well as the National Green Party site at gp.org.
Dave Schwab, co-chair of the Wisconsin Green Party. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.